Let's start with a couple of verses from Scripture. Shout out praise to God, all the earth. Sing praises about the majesty of his reputation. Give him the honor he deserves. Let's pray. Father, thank you for time that we can just set aside to gather and to celebrate you. And we ask that this evening would be a celebration that brings you joy and puts a smile on your face. Father, please be speaking into our hearts. But more so, I even ask that you would find in our hearts the responses that you're looking for this evening. We ask for your blessing on this time. For your sake, Lord Jesus. Amen.
If you would like to read along, I am reading from the NIV, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 18. One body, many parts. The body is a unit, though it is made of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they come from one body. So it is with Christ, for we are baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be.
Thanks, Marika. Romans, we get to continue. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 12. We are going to be looking this week, and then next time we're in Romans, which will probably be the first Friday in April, since next Friday will be in Acts, and the Friday after that will be Good Friday. So in a few weeks, we will continue with what we're starting tonight. But tonight we're starting to look at body life. Paul is going to talk very significantly over the next four chapters about one anothering, about how we are to interact with each other, about how we are to cooperate and to live with one another. As a matter of fact, at one point in time, Paul is just going to say, listen, put up with each other. Just bring out your tolerance and say, okay. Do you realize that was in Scripture? It is. We'll get there. It's not where we are tonight, but we'll get there. Tonight we want to take a look at where Paul starts. And oftentimes with this particular passage, we jump right into spiritual gifts and using it and we need to stop first and realize the context that Paul is talking to us about that. And realize the context of how to interact with one another. Romans chapter 12. I'm going to begin reading at verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but to think with sober discernment, as God has distributed to each of you a measure of faith. For just as in one body we have many members, and not all the members serve the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ. And individually, we are members who belong to one another. Let's pray and ask the Lord to be our teacher this evening. Father, as we look at this passage, as we look at your words to us, Lord, I ask that you would speak. That you would speak your healing, that you would speak your courage, that you would speak your conviction, that you would speak your words into our hearts. And may your words bear eternal results in each one of us, Father. Thank you for your glory, Jesus. Amen. For by the grace given to me, Paul starts. What grace is Paul talking about? Paul realizes that his entire apostleship, his entire ministry, is a grace gift to him from God. It's not something that he claimed for himself. It's something that God put on him. It's something that God laid on his shoulders and said, Paul, this is for you. The way I want to be in you and the way I want to be through you to others. And so Paul here is saying, listen, for the grace given to me. Sorry, it's a really bad throat night. For the grace given to me, what God has given to me, Paul says, I want to give out to you. That was a form of authority in the church. That was a form of information, of instruction. That was a form of, hey guys, this is what God wants to say to you tonight. And that's what Paul is saying here. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you. Now remember, we're talking to a church that's split right down the middle between Jews on one side. I got to keep it right. And Gentiles on the other. And if tonight's your first night, you're going, what? For the last year, we've been talking to the Jews and to the Gentiles, because that's what Paul was doing when he wrote the letter to the Romans. That was the struggle they were having, is this horrendous conflict in the church, Christian to Christian, Jew against Gentile. And that was a massive struggle. And so this is the context in which Paul is now saying, okay, I want to talk to all of you now. We're finished for now, talking to the Jews and the Gentiles, the Jews or the Gentiles. Now I want to talk to all of you. I say to every one of you not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but to think with sober discernment. Those are interesting words. Because we as a Christian church have done great disservice to our humanity by abusing that verse. We really have. I want you to think not more highly of yourself than you should. In other words, don't think, look at me. Paul says in another place, what do you have that you didn't get? What do you have that God didn't give you? And if God gave it to you, then why are you boasting? Why are you bragging? Doesn't make any sense. Don't think more of yourself than you ought to. I love going back to Psalm 131. David says, I have not concerned my things with too lofty for me. Wow, this is the king. And he's talking to God saying, I haven't stuck my nose in business that it doesn't belong in. Or I haven't thought of myself as better than others. See, there's a problem when we start to look down our nose at other Christians and say, I'm glad I'm not them. I'm glad I'm not her. I'm glad I'm not him. Wow, I got it a whole lot better than they did. Did you see what they did? We need to pray for them. Do you realize more gossip is given out in prayer meetings than any other time of the year? We need to pray for so-and-so because they did this and this and this and this and this. And this, and this. It's not prayer request, it's a gossip session. Wow. Paul said, get off your high horse. You're no better than anybody else. So quit thinking of yourself as better or more suitably equipped or... Paul is quite literally looking at the Romans saying, guys, get over yourselves, okay? Stop thinking more highly of yourself than is appropriate. However, see, that's oftentimes where we've stopped in the history of the Christian church. And we beat each other up by saying, we need to be humble, we need to be humble, we need to be humble. Do you realize that false humility is a form of pride? Oh, I could never do that. No. You know what? That's just pride with a different skin on. Bless you. Sorry, that's the Ukrainian in me coming out. 13 years in Ukraine, you hear a sneeze, you respond to it. It just happens. Take a look at this. I say to every one of you not to think more highly of yourselves than you ought to think, but to think with sober discernment. In other words, if I'm a gifted teacher, I need to not say that I'm not. Because I am. Because of me? No, because God made me this way. And it's the gifts that God has given to me. And I thank Him for that. It's not about me, it's about Him. And for me to cast dispersion or to think, talk down to myself or to hold myself down in the dirt, what is that doing to God who made me? It's saying, God, thanks, but yeah, I don't think so. See, it's not talking about only not being arrogant, it's also talking about down-talking to yourself. You know those negative cycles? I'm an idiot. I'm incompetent. I can't do that. I'm no good at that. You know what? If it's not true, don't say it. If it is true, admit it to the glory of God. We have some amazing musicians here. And that's awesome. Especially Rick at the back. He put his hand up. Pick me, the organ recitalist. And you guys got to know that if Rick didn't enjoy this kind of stuff, I would never pick on him. So it's never an insult between Rick and me. It's always in fun. And Rick throws it back to me. It's just I have a microphone and he doesn't. We need to know ourselves. And to be comfortable with ourselves. Remember John 13. Jesus, knowing that the Father had put all things into His hand, knowing that He'd come from the Father and that He was going back to the Father, got up from the table, and put a towel around His waist, and went and washed the disciples' feet. He knew who He was. And He wasn't ashamed to do the worst job in that room. Because he was confident, because he was comfortable in his own skin. Paul wants us to understand that God has given us gifts and talents and abilities. And that is nothing to be shy of. It's not something to be gloated over. It's not something to be flaunted as if it's better than somebody else. It's just one of the family members. But it's when we put ourselves down that we're actually putting God down. We're throwing insult to God when we put ourselves down. So don't think more of yourself than you should, but don't think less of yourself than what God has made you to be. This word sound discernment means right-mindedness. Think correctly. And that's hard for us. Because for years we've been taught that anytime I say I'm good at, oh, you're being proud now. Am I really? Not if I'm saying the truth. And I'm saying it in a manner of God gave this to me. And so that's cool. And I honor God by saying he made me the person that I am. He made me the teacher that I am, the Bible student that I am. He gave me the gifts of humor and of communication that he gave me. And that's glory to him. And I hope entertainment and instruction for you guys. More heavy on the instruction and inspiration than on the entertainment. But I figure if we can chuckle while we're learning truths, it's a lot easier to swallow the hard stuff. A minute full of laughter really helps the hard truths go down. To paraphrase an old Disney song. I say to every one of you not to think more highly of yourselves than you ought to, but to think with sober discernment, as God has distributed to each of you a measure of faith. If you are here today as God's child, God has given you a measure of faith. God has gifted you. I don't necessarily know what those gifts are. I don't know what your measure of faith is. As a matter of fact, if you look at commentaries, measure of faith, there's three words. There's seven meanings for one of them, five meanings for another, and two meanings for the third one. And so what it really could mean is well, it boils down to two different things. God has given us a measure of faith. That can be one of two things. One, it can be a standard by which we measure our faith. And that standard is Jesus the Christ. He is the one who says, love one another as I have loved you. I've given you this example so that you would follow me. They will know you are my disciples if you have love one for another. If they hated me, you know they're going to hate you because you're living the way I'm teaching you to live. The standard for life and faith is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did not come to fill in time until he could die on the cross. Jesus Christ came to show us what it meant to be a Christian. You want to know what it looks like to be a Christian? Read the Gospels. You want to know what it's like to be in dependence on God every day? Read the Gospels. Jesus came to show us Christianity and then to die to make it possible. His life is the standard for a true human life. Too often we get so enamored with the fact that Jesus was God, which he was and is. He's the only 200% human being, 100% God and 100% human. But we always tip the scale somehow onto the divine, which means he had it easier. You know what? He didn't. Because he was 100% human, just like you and me. Guess what? He had to go to the toilet just like you do. He probably snored. Probably did. Scripture tells us that he wasn't notoriously good looking. He was a Jew. He probably had, you know, Mount Zion on his face for a nose. Jesus was a person, a man, and he lived life with all the struggles that you and I do. Is he God? Yes, 100%. And that's what makes that sacrifice infinite and available for every human. Was he 100% human? Absolutely. Otherwise, I could never relate to him. But he came to be relatable. He came to show us what Christianity is. A measure of faith. The other option for measure of faith we can find in Matthew, in a story that Jesus told. Matthew 25, Jesus is talking a lot about the end of days and what's going to happen and all that kind of stuff. And he tells a story in Matthew 25 of three servants that were given three different amounts of talents. Now, talents are not skills and abilities. In this case, it's a Roman currency. As a matter of fact, one talent was worth about 15 years of wages. This is starting at verse 14 of Matthew chapter 25. For it is like a man going on a journey who summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. And we know the story. He went on the journey, and the one who had five earned five more. The one who had two earned two more, and the one who had one was scared to death and hid it. He didn't live up to his measure of talents, of what he was given. The first two were greeted with the return of the master with, "Well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And the last one was thrown out. Each one of us has been given a measure of faith. And quite frankly, I'm going to ask a question. What are you doing with it? It's not on me. It's on you. God, when you meet God face to face, he's not going to ask you, "Who kept you from doing this? Who kept you from using the gifts and talents that I gave you?" He's not going to ask you that. He's going to ask you, "What did you do with the gifts and talents that I gave you? What do you have to say when he asks you that at the end of days?" For just as in one body, this is back in Romans chapter 12, okay, God has distributed to each one of you a measure of faith. Verse 4, "For just as in one body we have many members, and not all the members serve the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ. And individually, we are members who belong to one another." Every time Paul talks about the spiritual gifts, he talks about them in the imagery of a body. I was talking with a friend of mine earlier on as we were talking about the interconnectedness of the human body and how when you are living in continuous, constant, pounding pain, how that affects your mind and how that affects your emotional energy and your mental energy. Or when you're absolutely exhausted in your brain, how much physical issues crop up. We are so interconnected in our physical bodies. And I love the way he puts it in 1 Corinthians where Marika was reading. If the whole body were an eye, how would it smell? If the whole body were an ear, how would it see? If the whole body were preachers, who'd be sitting there listening to us? If the whole body was people who came early to set up chairs and left so that they wouldn't be known, who would be here to serve in a service? It's not about value. It's not about importance. Because those don't rest on what you do. How many of you were at the identity seminar workshop? First time or second time? Your identity is not based on what you do, is it? It's based on the fact that God loves you. Why does God love you? Because God is love. Has nothing to do with you, sorry. God loves you because you exist. And he loves you more than you can ever imagine. And there's nothing you can do to make him love you less. There's nothing you can do to make him love you more either. God loves you because he chooses to love you. That is the very epitome of grace. God's love given to us because we don't deserve it. We are all by nature enemies with God because we want to do it our way. For just as in one body we have many members and not all the members serve the same function. Paul is saying, guys, listen. It doesn't matter what you are gifted at. It matters that you're using it to God's glory. We're going to get to that next time. But it doesn't matter. It's not part of your value structure. It's not part of who you are. Each one of us has different functions. Each one of us has different roles to play. Each one of us does. Trust me, you would not want to eat what I would bring if I had to bring the baking. You would all be enjoying the hospital or reminiscing over old meals around the porcelain throne or... I am not a good baker. I can cook, but I am a lousy baker. Who said true? You've eaten some of my baking. We all have different functions, folks, and it's not a matter of pride or arrogance or superiority. We classify people that way, but it's not true. I had somebody come in this afternoon, and they set up all the tables and chairs and then left so that they wouldn't be known because they just like to help out. That person is no less important to this church, no less important than I am, or than Dawn is doing the music for us, or Lorna doing the sound, Candace doing the overheads, Sylvia taking care of the food and organizing it and taking care of all. Guys, it takes all of us. How many of you like puzzles? Yeah, putting together puzzles. How many of you like that? I'm sorry. Oh, I hate it. I'm not good at puzzles. I'm not. I don't mind doing them, but yeah, I am not very good at doing puzzles. What's the first thing you see when you see a 1,000-piece puzzle with a piece missing? What's the first thing you see? What's the first thing you say? Arben, what'd you do with the piece? Oh, no, that's what Trish says. You put that piece in your pocket, didn't you? Yeah, I wanted to put a piece in to help you. There, see, I helped. We see the gaping hole in the puzzle. There can be 999 pieces, all perfect, and we see the hole. That's God's church without you doing your part. Which piece of the puzzle is the most important? There isn't a most important. They're all equally important. Whether it's an edge piece, whether it's that funky, really weird one that Springbok liked to used to make, whether it's part of the face, part of the building, part of the night sky. I made an enemy of one of my aunts one time. I thought I was being nice. She loves puzzles. So I gave her a 750-piece puzzle for Christmas. The Eiffel Tower at night. I was probably in junior high. I didn't know. Oh, she did not appreciate me that Christmas. Beautiful, beautiful picture of the Eiffel Tower lit up, and three quarters of the puzzle is black night sky. Folks, we are meant to be one with each other. And that's what Paul says here. We belong to each other. So we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members who belong to one another. Ephesians chapter 4 tells us that from the head, who is Jesus, life comes, and we grow through that growth that comes from Christ, but we grow because we're interconnected. And we grow with what each joint and ligament supplies. Which means every place we rub shoulders, Dawn. Every place we rub shoulders, Marika. We are growing together as God transfers from him, from himself to us, to others. We belong to each other. There's no matter of which is better, which is more important, which is more indispensable. Every one of you sitting here is an indispensable part of God's family. If you're one of his kids today, he loves you as much as he loves anybody else. Even as much as he loves Dawn and Sharon. Not sure about Marika. She's a little special. We belong to each other, folks. We are the body. And as such, we need to do what we can to work together, not against each other. And that doesn't just stay in this room. And that's one of the things I love about Cowboy Church, is probably half of you sitting here tonight have a Sunday church that you go to. And that's cool. Because that takes you beyond this little gathering into another gathering that you're equally as much a part of. As the church of Jesus Christ across all time, as he has given us in his word, we belong to one another because that's how he made us to be. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but to think with sober discernment, as God has distributed to each of you a measure of faith. For just as in one body we have many members, and not all the members serve the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ. And individually, we are members who belong to one another. Amen. I'm going to ask you to remain standing as we close in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the amazing gifts of grace, the amazing gifts of love that you give to us, and for the fact that you want to live in us, and you want to live through us to each other. Father, teach us what that looks like in our own individual lives. Everyone's a little different. You made us all amazingly unique. So we ask that you would be at work in each heart, drawing us together into the tight-knit family, the tight-knit body that you would have us to be. May you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. To him be the honor both now and on that eternal day. Amen.